Well, every child in the 80s grew up with one. This little gem. And every parent with a child in the 80s knew about this. Every grandparent that was making a Christmas list of the year 1988 probably had it on the top of their list. It was the number one selling item that year, over 7 million sold. By 1990, 30% of all U.S. households would have one of these, including my own house. I'm talking about, go ahead and show the next slide, the Nintendo. And the number one selling game was Mario Super Brothers. Maybe familiar with that tune. It echoed through the walls of our house as well. There was my favorite button on that console, the reset button. It was your best friend and also your worst enemy, because it was your best friend, because if the game wasn't going good or your brother was beating you, all you had to do, hit that reset button, poof, start all over. But it was also your worst enemy, because if things were going good, or if you were the one beating your brother, or you were in the last level and you had all the coins and all the lives you needed, and then all of a sudden, mysteriously, poof, the game would reset. That's what I want to talk about with you this morning. Go ahead and go to the next slide, Anna. Do you need a reset? Are things going really good? And then all of a sudden it seems like out of nowhere, someone just mysteriously has hit the reset button on you. Or is the game going pretty bad? And life's not good, and you've been praying for that reset. You go through a lot of school to become a pastor, and they tell you all these rules that you need to typically follow when you preach, and I'm about to break a lot of them. Because it hasn't been a typical week for me. And I want to tell you a story about my own life. But I won't break this rule, and that is, the point of the sermon is always, always Jesus. Every Lutheran sermon is about Jesus. When I was 17, I was in the best shape of my life. I was a senior in high school, and I had my goal set on one thing: state cross-country meet, all-state finish, get a college scholarship. And to get all state at the state cross country meet, you just had to get top 25. And that was my goal. It's what I set out to do, and I worked, and I worked, and I worked for it. Senior year, I was putting in 92-mile weeks on the road. One Saturday morning, I woke up, and I ran 19 miles, and then turned around that night and ran a 4-mile tempo. Things were going really well for me. Got through conference, got through districts, and I got to the state meet, and all my hard work was paying off. In the last 30 meters of the race, I was finding myself battling for the 10th position. And at the course, you go down a hill and then up a slow incline to the finish line, from the doors to the church to the altar. And as I went down that hill, I noticed that my vision started to bounce very badly. And I knew something wasn't right. And I was that runner that you see at races that keeps falling and getting back up and looking like a zombie, and then falling and then getting back up and looking like you're about to die and then falling. I don't remember the last part of the race, but my dad has it on video, and we love to watch it. My mother, on the other hand, does not. I crossed the finish line, in 25th place. 15 people passed me the last 30 meters. But by the grace of God, I was all state. But my body was badly broken. And things weren't good. So they sent me to the hospital. And within a few hours, they found out that I had mono. And I didn't know it. That's an irrelevant question. I didn't know I had mono, so I raced. And by pushing my body through such hard workout with mono, it was affecting my body, so they admitted me. And things then got much more serious. I was in the hospital for about 3 hours, and then I'll never forget the specialist who came through the door. His name was Dr. Okamoto. Apparently, I had pushed my body so far that my body was now in organ failure. And the first thing to go when your body goes into organ failure are your kidneys. My kidneys were failing. 18% functioning, my creatinine level was through the roof, and they were talking about dialysis as a 17-year-old. First day came and went, and second day, things didn't get any better. I'll save you the details, but it was not pretty. So the third day, they talked about flying me to a bigger hospital for a biopsy, and that's when I finally wised up, and I said, maybe call pastor. And so a Lutheran pastor came that evening and gave me the Lord's Supper. I like to joke that I had wine on failing kidneys and it did not kill me. It was the blood of Christ. And he read to me Romans 5. And they were taking my blood every 4 hours, checking my levels. And the very next time they took my blood at 10 o'clock that night, my kidneys were functioning perfectly. And I walked out of the hospital the next day. And the doctor said, I guess it's a fluke. Wasn't a fluke. But God hit the reset button on me that day. Everything was going good, and then all of a sudden, start all over. But he taught me something. I learned how much he cares and loves his sheep when they're wounded. I could tell you a similar story about when I was 21 and I had a tumor in my leg and there was a scare with cancer, but this is a Lutheran church and you don't like when I preach for 30 minutes, so I'm going to save that one for another day. But that was another reset button in my life. But then 2 weeks ago, as you know, I had God hit the reset button again. Came home from a day of work Wednesday evening, and I simply tried to read Addison a bedtime story, and I couldn't quite get the words out. Never labored for my speech. And it was a hard book, Skippity John Jones. It's not easy to read through, but I kept slurring my words and tingling in my arm all the way down, and my pulse was very low, and so I went and saw my doctor the next day, and everything checked out fine until they did the EKG, and they said, you need to go to the ER. It looks like you're having a heart attack. And so I went to the ER, and they sent me up to St. Luke's South, and they did all the tests in the world. And they found out that my heart, after all, was functioning perfectly. And the MRIs showed that I actually had a brain, and it was okay. And I felt your prayers. That Sunday before, I preached a sermon on those who exalt themselves will be humbled. I look back at that time, and now I realize that God was laughing as I preached, because he knew what was in store for me that week. I had no idea. But my life was going well. Things were going fine. I felt like I was in that level where we're about to win, and I didn't want a reset. But out of nowhere, God's hit the reset button on me. I feel like he's hit the reset button. And perhaps some of you could relate. Life was going so well, and then all of a sudden, God hit a reset button on your life. But not so for most of you. For most of you, life isn't going well. And you have been praying for a reset. And so you do what any child would do when you're losing the game. You take matters into your own hands, and you hit the reset button. I'll get my head put back on straight. I'll take control. I'll find my answers. I'll get my life put back together. I'll take care of myself. And so you hit the reset button and you take another swig. And then another, and then another, and then another, then another. And so you hit the reset button and you spread some gossip about someone else to take the spotlight off of yourself. And then you do it again and another, and another, and another, and another. You take control of your diet, so you skip a meal, and then another, and then another, and then another, and then another. So you put in another hour at the office, hoping to reset your career and give your family a better future, and then you spend another, and another, and another. And you, before you know it, you're hitting that reset button so many times that you become paralyzed and stuck, incapable of moving, and so badly injured that you don't have any energy left to even hit it one more time. I myself will search for my sheep. I will look for you and rescue you from all the places that you've been scattered. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. You don't hit the reset button. God hits the reset button in his own time and in his own way, and you don't find God. He finds you, and when God finds you, he makes you lie down. When you become lost, I will search for you. When you become incapable of moving, I will strengthen you. When you are injured, I will bind you up. When you feel defeated and destroyed, I will rescue you. I will bring you back to my son, the son of David, the good shepherd himself, and he will make you lie down and feed you beside still waters and into fields of green pastures. God hits the reset button to take care of you, his sheep. And some of you have been praying for that reset button, and it never comes. And some of you, it's not even on your radar, and then it comes anyways. You're not in control. And no matter where you find yourself, God is always teaching you something. He's teaching you. And with this most recent reset in my life, he has taught me about power. The limits of mine and the limitlessness of his. And how his power is made perfect in weakness. In a cross. And in the empty grave of the Messiah, and in the tombs of our loved ones. I thought I knew what it meant to be humbled. And then I ended up on a stretcher, completely stuck, incapable of doing anything to save my life. But as I lay in that hospital bed in the middle hours of the night, I thought, I know what it means to be humble now. Wait until the last day. When you will see God's power. When you will see His glory and His majesty. For now, He hides it behind His word and through bread and wine and water. But on that last day, He will fully manifest His power so that the whole creation will be brought to a knee and you will find yourself completely humbled, unable to even move at His majesty and power and honor. But I'm not going to find you on a stretcher. I'm going to find you on the shoulders of your good shepherd who carries you His sheep because He loves you so much. And He uses His power for your good. Thanks be to God. Amen.